Now let us turn for a few moments tonight here in this passage of Scripture, this portion that we read here from Mark's Gospel, and the chapter 1, and the verse 15. Mark chapter 1 and the verse 15. These, of course, are the words of our Saviour. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the Gospel. And we're thinking upon these words tonight, these gracious words, wonderful words, concerning the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless our meditation upon these words. Now, of course, the words of our text are repeated, as I'm sure we know, many, many times in the New Testament. The kingdom of God. And it reminds us, of course, of God's sovereign rule there in the work of salvation and his rule over this world. And this kingdom, we are reminded too, really is in the hearts of his people, the kingdom of God. It is something within, and it is something that is very precious. It is within us, this kingdom. And that is brought out very clearly in Luke's Gospel. If we turn over there just for a moment, in Luke chapter 17 and in the verse 21, again we have the words of our Saviour. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The great work of salvation, God's rule, is within us. I wonder tonight, dear soul in this meeting, can you say that this work has taken place, that the Spirit of God is within you, the kingdom of God is within you? And what a privilege, what a mercy, when we think of the kingdoms of this world and how devastating they are, and the devastating things that are taking place. Note here again in this same chapter, in Luke chapter 17, and here in the verse 28, he says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That day is coming. As I said this morning, it's going to be a day of trial. It will be a day of judgment. A day of judgment. This world of ours is not improving. Yes, praise God, we ought to be encouraged. The work of the gospel is going forward. Souls are being saved and will be saved. And many will be added unto the kingdom of God. But as we look out upon the world and upon its system and upon its thinking, there is no improvement there. And again, in John chapter 18 and the verse 36, we are reminded there these great words with regard to the kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So we see in the scriptures, don't we, that there is a clear division between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. A clear division between the two, a separation. And praise God, the kingdom of the Lord. The kingdom of God is this great kingdom. Are we in that kingdom tonight? Member of the body of Christ, of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we sung tonight in the hymn, are we looking forward to his return, to his rule? When there will be a great change will come about. And the sad thing, of course, is the vast majority of people will not be ready. We read in that solemn passage, don't we, there in the book of Revelation, in the chapter 6, when our world is taken by surprise, when the Lord appears, and they will cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. They want to hide their faces from the one that comes. They're taken by surprise, and they are not ready for the appearing. And they're taken with great fear. They're seized with fear. And they cry out that they might be covered. The day the thought that would never come around has come. A day of judgment and a day of trial. And all they want is that their faces, their bodies might be covered, that they would not see him, because they're not ready. They're not in the kingdom of God. And dear soul, tonight, the greatest privilege, the greatest standing we can have in this world of ours, this world of decay, and a world that is under judgment, is to be a member of the kingdom of God. That's the great blessing. Now, this, of course, first and foremost, is a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Yes, people have forgotten about the spiritual, haven't they? They have forgotten about the supernatural. And I don't want to go over what I said this morning. And yet, at the same time, in this country, I know it is so in the south of Ireland anyway. We hear it. People have told us there at the ploughing outreach, and we've heard it before. Though people say that they don't believe in the spiritual or in the supernatural, and yet there's a growing interest in the occult. It's a fearful thing. It's frightening. There's an ever-growing interest in the occult. A man told me a few years ago, way down in the Midlands, he said it's surprising how many people are meeting at night time around graveyards, and they're praying, and they're conducting some kind of a dance, and some kind of a meeting. They're caught up in the occult. Let me just, in passing, give a word of advice to our young people here. Just be careful of your company, and stay absolutely clear of all of that, because people are being drawn into it. The worship of demons and the worship of the devil. Don't even get inquisitive as regards to these things. It's information you don't need and you don't want, and it's not going to do you any good whatever. Stay clear of that. Stay clear of that. The most important thing for you is this great standing, this wonderful privilege to be in the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of God. And you're looking forward to the Lord's return. Our world is the kingdom of darkness. Now we're thinking about the spiritual. Yes, of course, there's great advancement in so many things. Great advancement in science and in all of that. Technology and in learning. But nevertheless, our kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. The world is in darkness. And it is under the control and under the rule of the evil one. Yes, the devil himself. Now, you might think tonight in the meeting, that's a very extreme statement for to make. That's going a little bit too far. Is that really correct, what you're saying in the pulpit tonight? That our world is being ruled by the kingdom of darkness? Now, well, there's many passages we could look at, but look, for example, there at the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians and in the chapter 2. And he's writing here to the people of God at Ephesus who have been wonderfully converted and brought to faith in Christ, and their lives have been changed. And he's reminding them here of their past lives, and he's reminding them to be steadfast and to keep going on. Now look what he says in Ephesians 2 in the verse 2. Reminding them, as I say, of their past experiences and the condition that they were in by nature. What an awful condition it was. Until, of course, they heard the gospel. And what a great change then came about. They were made saints of God. They were blessed. They were elevated in the spiritual. Now he says in the verse 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You see that? The prince of the power of the air. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that's the spirit that is at work tonight. It's the spirit of evil. It's the spirit of darkness. And that spirit of darkness is at work in the children of disobedience. That is in the unconverted man, the unconverted woman, the unconverted young person. They are, until they are saved, born again of the Spirit of God, they are under the control of the evil one. And they are in darkness. And how awful a condition that is. Yes, our world tonight, our world is divided up into, well, we could say there's many kingdoms, isn't there? There's many countries. There's many religions. There's many languages and all of that. But really, when it comes down to it, as I say, the scripture draws a very clear line between the two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the Almighty God. The kingdom of Christ. Oh, what a blessed mercy and privilege it is to be in the household of God. To be in His house. The household of the Lord. He has made every Christian, we're numbered among the kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests unto God. A royal priesthood. Do you see that in the scriptures? This is what God has done. This is part of the meaning of the kingdom of the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul there was reminding the church at Ephesus of. They walked at one time the way of the world, the way of darkness. They were under the control of the devil, in the grasp of the evil one. But then, praise God, they heard the gospel. And he reminds him in that chapter, you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and in sins. Yes, we see that work. We see that spirit at work today, don't we? The awful blindness of the natural man. He may be well educated and gifted and have many of these things, but when it comes to the spiritual, doesn't see his need. He's quite content. He's quite happy. But praise God, the gospel, the Christian, is one who has been brought into the light of the gospel. And that is a tremendous blessing, isn't it? To walk in the light as he is in the light. And to have fellowship one with the other. And praise God as well, we can say that the Christian is one who has an understanding. And how important the understanding is. Don't we see as we read our Bibles how much emphasis is put upon the mind? The mind, how important the mind is today. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind, our thinking. And praise God, our thinking has been changed. That is the mind of the Christian. We have an understanding. Well, we have an understanding of what the world is like. We have an understanding where things are going to. We have an understanding about what life is all about. The Christian is somebody who has got to the root of the problem. Now that's brought out very clearly if we turn our Bibles for a moment. If we turn in our Bibles there to 1 John, turn there in the scriptures over and mark these verses very clearly. These are remarkable words from John, from his first epistle. Incredible words. And if they weren't in the Bible, in the Word of God, we would not accept it. We wouldn't believe it. We'd say it is an extreme statement. We would say it's an exaggeration, but it's not. And here we have it in 1 John chapter 5 and in the verse 19. Note the words carefully. Mark them in your Bible. And we know that we are of God. He's writing, of course, to Christians. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Do we see that tonight? You may be thinking to yourself, the statement that I've made is an extreme statement as regards the world around us, and the state of the world, and the mind of people, and the outlook of people. But John here tells us very clearly, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's under the control and the power of the devil, our world, the prince of the power of the air. But then, note in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Do you see that? The Christian is somebody. I'm not saying we know everything perfectly, but we have an understanding. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. The Christian, isn't it wonderful? It's nothing to do about our university degrees or how well we have done at college or anything else. No, the Christian is somebody who knows what life is about. And we have this understanding of what the world is like and where it's going to. And we know that we're in the household of God. We have light. God has given us this light. And as we read this morning in 1 John, he says there, praise God for that verse, we have been brought into fellowship with God. We're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. And the Apostle Paul there in Colossians, the chapter 1, the verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Being brought out of one kingdom, translated into another. That's what happens when you believe the gospel, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, when you repent, when you receive him, when you come to him just as a poor sinner with nothing to offer. You're brought out of one kingdom immediately. Your eyes are opened. You have an understanding. You see that for the first time, really, what the world around you is like and where it is going, and the darkness of it and the evil of it. You see it all there. And you see how awful, our world is. And you see that it is not getting better, but in fact, it is getting worse. It is getting worse. You see the jealousies? You see it in every area of society. The awful jealousy, the hatred, the backstabbing, all of that. Oh yes, people may seem to be very nice on the outside and all the rest. Ah, but what are they like behind the scenes? What are they like behind the scenes? Well then, not only that, he wants his citizens here to be like him. That is Christ-likeness. Now, people that are in the kingdom of God that are saved are like. They're to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we like Christ? Are we seeking to be more and more like him in this world? Because we're members of his kingdom now. We're the children of God. No longer under the power of Satan. No longer in darkness. No, we have been brought to Christ. We're the people of God. And men and women, that's the greatest privilege. That's the greatest privilege in the whole world. Here's the goal of the Christian life then. It is to be separated from the kingdom of this world. Now, of course, yes, you have your business to get on with. There's nothing wrong with that. You have your work. You have your farm, whatever it might be. And you're living in this world. You have to see all of these things. In fact, we're to be diligent in our business. And it doesn't mean that we have to go around every day gloomy and downcast and miserable. No, we're to enjoy every day that God gives us. We are to let the light of the gospel shine through us, as it were. We're to glorify him. For what is man's chief end? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But the great thing is this, that we're members of his kingdom. We've been separated from the world. It's all summed up there very well in the book of Leviticus, in the chapter 19 and the verse 2. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And what is holiness? How can we sum up holiness? Well, holiness is to be Christ-like. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. So it's not what we appear on the outside at all. No, it's what we are in our hearts. It's what we are in our hearts. You have heard the old saying, haven't you? A street angel and a house devil. A street angel and a house devil. What are we like, dear friends? What are you like? What am I like in our homes? What are we like with our families? How do we treat our neighbours? Do we love our neighbour as ourselves? Are we seeking, as I said this morning, are we seeking to be lowly? Are we seeking to be meek? Are we seeking to be poor in spirit? This is holiness. This is getting down to the nitty-gritty of Christianity. This is getting down to the roots. It's what I'm like. It's what I'm like with my tongue. How I treat my fellow Christian, how I treat my neighbour, and so on like that. This is the basic. This is getting down to the foundation. We're like Christ. We're to be like him. Holiness. And holiness is Christ-likeness. You remember the words there that we read. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Is perfect. We can be as fundamental as we like and glory in it, talk about it, that's fine, the fundamentals of the gospel, and be fundamentalist. Oh, but what about these other things, these other matters that really touch our hearts, that really are the fruits of the Christian life? Poor in spirit, humble, lowly, in a proud, arrogant world in which we live. Yes, he wants his citizens to be like him, Christ-likeness. And praise God that this kingdom that we have here before us, this kingdom of God, praise God, it's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of power. It's not going to be overcome, men and women. It's not going to be defeated. Satan is not going to have the last word. And not only that, I mentioned there about talking about being meek, gentleness, goodness, kindness, and all of that. Yes, but it doesn't mean that we have no backbone. It doesn't mean that we're soft. It doesn't mean that we're like a lot of jellies, that we're ready for to cave in the face of the world. We're not people that go out and say, oh yes, we embrace all religions, isn't it wonderful, and we're all going to heaven at last. Oh no, 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 we stand out. We stand out for the Lord, we stand out for the gospel, and we stand firm. We have backbone. One doesn't contradict the other. And we earnestly contend for the faith. That faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's a kingdom of power that we ought to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Here's an encouragement for every dear Christian tonight. As I say, this is a kingdom that is going to triumph. It's going to triumph. It's never going to be conquered. It's never going to be defeated. The kingdom of God. And you're in that kingdom tonight, dear Christian. It doesn't matter what the world has to throw at you. You know, there in that great chapter of Romans, chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? Not even death itself, nor persecution, nor famine, nor distress, or sword, or anything else. We're in the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of might. Lord Jesus Christ reigns. He's on the throne. And the devil will be cast into the bottomless pit. That's the picture that is given to us at the end. The devil and all his angels at the last, they'll be rounded up and they will be cast into that bottomless pit. That day is coming. That day is coming. We have to look at the enemy, the devil, as one who is on a leash. He's on a leash. He's not out of control. He's on a leash. Maybe some folk here tonight, you have a dog at home, a wee dog or a big dog, and you take him out for a walk, and you have one of them leads, one of them leashes, and you press the button and you let him out so far. And then you think to yourself, I'm not going to let you any further, and you press the button, and that's it. He can't go any further. He's on the leash. And so it is with the devil. He's on God's leash. So far and no further. Praise God. Yes, that day of defeat is coming. And praise God, as I've already mentioned, the Lord's kingdom is increasing. Souls will be saved. In different parts of the world, people will be gathered in. They will be saved. And we have that great promise in Matthew chapter 16. There in the verse 18, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. So we're not to fear. Yes, we need revival, don't we? We need to see an increase. We need to see more. Praise God, let us pray for it. Be encouraged to pray. And be encouraged to come to your prayer meeting and to pray for blessing. And to lay hold upon God. This is a kingdom of power. It's not a weak kingdom. Kingdom of God is not weak. It is not going to fall or collapse to the ground. And praise God that churches have been entrusted with this most powerful, this glorious message in the whole world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's only one message can change your neighbors. There's only one message that can change our country. Here in Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales. There's only one message. It has done it in the past. And what a great change has taken place when revival comes. And when God comes down. And the power of God comes down. And multitudes are converted. And multitudes are saved. And the whole of society is reformed. Great change. It's a kingdom of power. Dear soul, tonight, if you're not converted and you have never come to the Lord, the moment you believe on Him, as I've already said, you're translated out of that kingdom of darkness and of sin and of bondage, full of snares, a kingdom of captivity, and you're brought into the kingdom of God. And nothing can overthrow that. Nothing. Yes, we fail. We sin. We come short. We have to grieve over many things. Ah, but the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No man was going to pluck his people out of his hand. The kingdom. Brethren, this is the greatest kingdom, the whole of the universe. The kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of victory. It's a kingdom, praise God, of delight. And it's a kingdom that is going to go forward. And when the Lord comes again with all his mighty angels, praise God, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which believe and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let us sing together in closing our meeting tonight, and we're going to sing 513, the hymn 513. I think I might have made a mistake there maybe in that hymn, have I? 513. 513, is it? Do we know this hymn? 513. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Do we know? That's all right then. We'll sing this hymn together. I'm not so sure of it of myself, but we'll attempt it, and I'm sure we'll sing it all right. 513. Close our meeting in a word of prayer, and as we close tonight, if I can help anyone, there's somebody not saved and you want to speak to me, I'd be glad to help you, or indeed you can speak to some of the men, some of the elders here. But don't go away. If you're lost tonight, come into the kingdom. You're invited. The Lord gives you the invite. Come to him. He'll not cast you out. Father God in heaven, bless your word to us. We thank you for this first day of the week, this Lord's Day. Keep us all throughout the week. Keep your good hand upon us. Bless us. Prosper us, Lord, in the things of God. Prosper us in that which is spiritual. Help us, Lord, we do ask. Grant everyone now, Lord, a safe journey home. Undertake for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.